and slapped him hard across the face. She huffed and swung around to run away, but Regis caught her by the shoulder and tugged her back around, throwing himself at her. And when they crashed together, he hugged her tightly. He saw the moisture in her pretty brown eyes and kissed her. She twisted to get away. She pulled her mouth back, but Regis pressed in harder and rejoined the kiss, and Dinala's tension gradually melted away. And then she was kissing him as passionately or more.
"Do you doubt me?"
she asked. And she twisted suddenly, dropping them both to the floor, her atop him.
"Have you never kissed any of them? Isn't that part of the game you play?"
Regis asked. Dinala's brown eyes flashed with anger, but it passed quickly, and with a burst of laughter she said,
"Aye, they like the little ones like us, you know. It makes them feel so big and strong."
"So you have kissed a Delphunt, a lord or two," Regis cried, clearly feigning outrage, and with a sudden burst he rolled Dinala onto her back. Dinala smiled up at him, her moist eyes twinkling in the sunlight streaming in through the room's lone window.
"Aye, that's the tease, and I have,"
she admitted, and with a sudden twist she rolled Regis onto his back.
"A kiss and a tease and nothing more," Dinala insisted, "and nothing more ever, with any, until now."
The sun was long set, the moonlight streaming in through the window when Regis awakened in Dinala's arms. He felt the fool for ever doubting this amazing halfling lass. She was playing no game for him. Her feelings were honest, as were his own. But lying there in the dim light, Regis couldn't help but think of Drizzt and the road to Icewind Dale. It had all become so very, very complicated. Chapter 18. The Charming Net. The Year of the Ageless One, 1479 DR, Netheril. The stars twinkled, a clear desert sky, and the sliver of a moon cast a thin glow over the woman's private garden, but enough of one for the moistened soft petals of her many flowers to sparkle like the stars above. Catibri was in a fine mood. How could she not be when she felt so close to Mialiki? Her days of dancing in Eruladun, of communing with the goddess, had taught her so much about the ways of the celestial spheres and the eternal cycle of life and death, and the goodness of life taken as a whole. She was part of those stars above, she understood, as were the flowers before her. She was at peace. And yet she was not, for this place, this moment, reminded her of why she had returned to Faerûn, and of the task before her in not so many years. This day, the spring equinox of 1479, marked her 16th birthday, or re-birthday, as she had privately named it. She had spent some hours with Niraj and Kavita in the Desai encampment, and she was not due back at the coven until the next morning.
5 more years, she whispered to a flower before her.
She lifted the plant's wide and soft petals and gently brushed them.
Only 5.
She conjured an image of Drizzt in her thoughts, and she smiled widely. She had been gone from him for just over 16 years by her measure, but more than a century in his lifetime. Had his feelings faded for her? Would he even remember her in any meaningful way? Would she find him happily married to an elf, perhaps, and raising children of his own? The woman shrugged, not happy about the possibility, but accepting it as just that, a possibility, and one that she could not control. She thought of seeing him again, of his smile, of his touch. How she missed that touch. Many things could seem trivial to Catibri, now that she had been in the arms of a goddess, now that she had looked at the multiverse with such profound understanding. But Drizzt's touch was not one of those trivial things. Their bond seemed as large as that of the celestial spheres, and as eternal as the cycle of life and death, no matter the interfering practicalities. If Drizzt had another wife, then so be it. Catibri knew that he still loved her, that he would always love her as she would always love him. She would be no less dedicated to the coming battle Mieliki had described to her in her days of communing with the goddess in the enchanted forest. If Lady Lolf or her minions came for Drizzt, they would have to fight through Catti Bree to get to him. She pictured Kelvin's cairn in Icewind Dale, under a sky as sparkling as this one, the unending wind tossing her hair, the chill breeze tickling her skin.
5 more years, she whispered again.
5 more years for what? Came a sharp voice behind her. Catti Bree froze in place, smile vanishing, eyes going wide. She knew that voice too well. For what? Lady Avalier asked again. And do face me, child. Catti Bree took a deep breath.
Your magic is no match for my own, child, Lady Avalier said, as if reading her thoughts. And you'll not shape-change fast enough to be away from me.
Catti Bree slowly turned around. Avalier stood at the entrance to her secret garden, dressed in rich traveling robes of purple and white, and she seemed taller to Catti Bree at that moment, much taller and more imposing.
You lied to me, she said quietly.
But each word resonated in Catti Bree's mind as if it had been shouted into her ear.
No, lady, she stammered. I took you in, opened my house to you, and you lied to me.
Lady Avalier insisted.
No, yes!
Catti Bree swallowed hard.
You didn't know where your power of healing and shape-shifting came from, you told me, Lady Avalier went on. You didn't know that they were divinely inspired or different at all, but you have deceived me all along, worshipping this god.
Goddess, Catti Bree managed to say.
I spared your parents!
Lady Avalier screamed at her.
A mere word from me about their magical activities, and Shade Enclave would have captured them and tortured them in the town square. And this is how you repay me, by lying to me?
She swept forward as she spoke, moving very near to Catti Bree, staring down at her from on high.
This does not concern them,
Catti Bree stammered, rising but keeping her head bowed. The thought that Avalier might take out her wrath on Niraj and Kavita horrified the woman. How would she be able to live with herself after bringing such ruin on those wonderful people? But a comforting thread wove into her mind then, an assurance that Lady Avalier would do no such thing, that Niraj and Kavita were not Avalier's concern and would not be exposed. Catti Bree looked up at the woman.